Please welcome Tara Bisbee.
So the summer between my sophomore and junior year, my family moved to Oregon for the reason that we just learned from Rachel that my dad was pulling a Geographic. So the first few temporary accommodations, I will not tell you about those in this story, but my dad finally rented a house for us. It was a small house up in the hills, about 5 miles outside of town, up a very steep, dirt, rutted road. Now, this house had been built by a woman who, I guess she had a severe bladder problem or something, because there was 2 bedrooms and 4 bathrooms in the house. And I surmise that she must also have been at least partially colorblind based on the colors of the walls in the bathroom. Very garish, one blue, one orange, one purple, and one a ghastly mustard yellow. Now, since there was only 2 bedrooms, my parents were in 1 bedroom, and myself and my 3 younger sisters were all forced to share the other bedroom. So back to the bunk beds. Now, the house we had left in California was a 2-story, 5-bedroom house where I'd had my own room, and I had just gotten in with a good group of friends after a couple of years of trying and fitting, you know, can I fit in, can I not fit in? And here we were all of a sudden in this small town in Oregon where we didn't know anybody. My brother was relegated to the basement. So every weekday school morning of that year, my dad would get up at 6 a.m. while my mother slept, and he would come into the bedroom and wake us up, usually by singing, "You can't get him up, you can't get him up, you can't get him up in the morning." I guess it was a holdover from his stint as a Navy pilot, but what that meant was we had to get dressed and report to the basement. So my brother was in one half of the basement, and the other half of the basement, we did his morning process. Now, he was under the illusion that he was going to be starting a program or a school for some delinquent teens or some foster kids or whatever the day of the week, the different version of the story. But he thought he would try out on his own kids first what he thought was going to be a holistic educational and spiritual process for us. So the first half hour was exercise. And my dad would watch as he lifted his weights and did his push-ups and his leg lifts to make sure that we kept moving. So no lying around, no slacking off. And occasionally, if he thought we were slacking off, he would come and do one of his sweat checks. That meant putting his hand on your back to make sure that you were perspiring adequately enough. So some spring mornings I could get away with telling him I was going to go out jogging, which meant I walked up to the water tank and threw rocks at it furiously. But on winter mornings when it was dark and cold outside and nobody should be up, as we learned from Dean, we were confined to the basement. So we would do our exercise after half an hour. Whichever one of us kids was on the chore chart to be on breakfast prep would go upstairs and start fixing the rest of us breakfast. Those of us left in the basement moved on to the next portion of his morning process. Now, this involved lying on the floor on our backs and making a triangle on our solar plexus and doing some deep breathing exercises. Not only that, he insisted we make loud vocalizations when we exhaled because it was somatically good. Went something like, "Ha-ho! Ha-ho!" So we would all lie around, do that until he was satisfied that enough time had been spent doing that. And then he would read some scripture from the Bible. And then for the last portion of the morning process, which is the part I hated the most, we would all get in a big group hug. "Hey, good morning, everyone. Oh, yeah, we're so happy to be here." As if, you know, we were just overjoyed to be yanked out of our beds at 6 a.m. and for this belly bullshit in the basement, right? It just was beyond ridiculous. So then we would all troop upstairs for breakfast, and of course there was rules about eating and breakfast as well. Mandatory requirements for breakfast was we must have fruit, milk, protein and pills, which meant vitamins. However, reflecting back on it now, I think it would have been much better if he had handed out antidepressants at the time, because that was truly a missed opportunity. But anyway, my brother, one time, he was trying to spice up the eggs. He put a lot of vanilla in it, not knowing really what it was or how it would turn out. But, you know, I got to give him credit for trying. So we did eat those, because in our house, we ate everything. No food went to waste. And you were not allowed to say that you didn't like something and not eat it. Not only could you not say you didn't like something, but when we ate around our big family table in the dining room, we would be looking at the table tents on the table of the starving Biafran children. So in case you thought that lumpy cream of wheat was not good, you better think twice. My dad would supervise breakfast as well, of course, and he would supervise from the stove, where he would make his own breakfast every day of the week except Sunday, which involved taking a large pot, putting it on the burner, dumping in some oil, some wheat germ, maybe a raw egg, maybe cutting up a raw potato, and then he would go and rummage in the fridge for any and all leftovers that he could find, and he would stir them all in there, making a big brown cesspool pot of gruel, okay? I am grateful he did not make us eat that. At least he drew the line somewhere. But really, I mean, what can you expect from a guy who spent 6 years in the monastery? When they were allowed the occasional bowl of ice cream, they would often put oatmeal or something else icky in there so they wouldn't enjoy it too much. So, suffering is holy, and my dad learned that very well. He became an expert in that, I have to say. I also later learned my youngest sister was the smartest one, because for morning process, she said she would put on her Speedo bathing suit, and then she would put on a couple of t-shirts, and then she would put on her bib overalls, and then she would put on a couple of sweatshirts. And what that did was three things. One, it made it impossible for her to actually make physical contact with her belly on the skin, which is what my dad preferred. Secondly, it made it difficult to get the sweat check done, right? She had all that padding on. And thirdly, the padding provided a little extra in that big morning group hug, mushy thing, which was also her least favorite part of the morning process. So anyway, when I hear any of that song from Reveille or somebody singing "You Can't Get Them Up in the Morning," I flash back to that awful year in high school. And what I didn't realize at the time was that was going to be the last year that I would spend with my family.